Good evening, Kansas City. This is the Sports Radio 810 WHB 101 Awards special. Stephen St. John here with Cody Tapp. And tonight you're going to hear our conversations with Aaron Donald, the NFC Defensive Player of the Year. Also, Antonio Brown, the AFC Offensive Player of the Year. A couple of the best coaches in the NFL, Sean McVay of the Rams and Doug Marrone, Jacksonville. And also Tony Gonzalez, who's going to be the brand new Chiefs Hall of Fame inductee. A lot of NFL star power here tonight, Cody.
Tons. And a couple of new teammates for Marcus Peters, right? A new coach and a new teammate, possibly for Marcus Peters. So all that coupled with, the best of the best. Peyton Manning was dressed a little casually, a little more casually than I was expecting.
Yeah, it looks like his flight got in late, so I'm sure he's going to go jump into the tuxedo. But also Kareem Hunt, the Mackley Hill Award winner as Rookie of the Year for the Kansas City Chiefs. A great night here, the 101 Awards. And we'll have conversations with almost all of the award winners tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Looking forward to it, Stephen. I mean, obviously, it's going to be a big mix and certainly a lot of guys to talk to for the rest of the evening. So hopefully a night full of 101 award winners, that including previous ones, right? Like Tony G, as you mentioned. So should be a fun time here on Sports Radio 810 tonight.
Absolutely. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Great.
Welcome back to the 101 Awards special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Rudy Salazar, and over the next about half hour or so, I'm going to be playing you some of the highlights, some of the conversations that Stephen St. John and Cody Tapp had earlier this evening at the 101 Awards with some of the award winners and some of the representatives they had there. So let's get things started, and we're going to get things started off in a big way with former Chiefs legend and 2018 Hall of Fame inductee Tony Gonzalez. Cody had the chance to talk to Cody along with some of the other members of the media. Mostly, and he started off the conversation asking him, you know, what was his mindset early in his career that allowed him to go on and achieve the career that he had?
How bad do I really want to be a great football player? And sometimes you got to go through the hard times. So understand that that's part of it, that the tough times are coming, without a doubt. The storms are coming. But what you do when you're going through that storm, the decisions you make can change your life and make it unbelievable, because the sun's going to come out and it's going to be a great time.
Tony, welcome back.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
By the way, I didn't call you a bust. At least if I did.
You didn't call me. Yeah, you did. You didn't call me. You should have called me a bust.
My first year, probably should have. Hey, just listening to you talk, it doesn't sound like you get back to town much. You been to, other than that game you played in for the Falcons, have you been to a game at Arrowhead since you left?
Well, I came out here to bang the drum that one year.
That's right. And that was it.
I think it was against Pittsburgh or something like that.
Okay, I remember that.
Yeah, and I came out here last year for Miles. Speaking of Shadow Buddies, I came out here for his wedding.
Okay.
And that was it, yeah. I got family out here, though. My brother lives here still. My cousin lives here. Billy, I'm still close to him.
So what kind of honor is this, then?
It's great. And I remember, like I said, I remember showing up that first year and kind of giving that side eye in a meeting room, looking over at Marcus Allen, because I'm from L.A., and that's who I grew up watching. And I like to think I probably became that to other guys, other young guys coming into the league. I grew up here. This is, you know, I wasn't even married here. This is just, you go through all the ups and downs from age 21 to 32 or whatever it was when I left here. There's a lot of growth going on there, and so it's one of those things. It's nostalgia. When I get off that plane and I see the city. And I feel like I groaned with the city. You know, we did a lot of growth happening in Kansas City during those years that I was here as well. It had nothing to do with me. It was fun to be a part of. I wish we could have won more. I'm not gonna lie about that. But we didn't. But the relationships were last.
I remember how frustrated you were at the end about all the losing, and I know that's kind of why you wanted out.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some bad teams after you left, of course. But any regrets about leaving here?
No. No, not at all. I mean, everything happened. I was on the plane, too, talking to Peyton about this and another buddy of mine who's really successful businessman. And it was talking to Peyton about him leaving early with Tennessee. And, I mean, he didn't leave early. You know, I was asking, why didn't you leave? And he's like, well, you know, yada, yada. He had his reasons. But I came to the realization, no matter what choice you make, if you're relentless in your approach to be successful, to go after it, it's going to work out. There's no such thing as a bad choice then. Even if it doesn't work out initially, if you keep working, it's going to work out for you. And it worked out for him, you know. And even though he went 3-13 the first year, it worked out for him. And I feel like that for me. Like when I went to Atlanta, obviously, I love my time in Atlanta. Went to a playoff game. Went to an NFC Championship game. If I would have stayed here, you look at it. They didn't do too well. Todd Haley years did not work out for them. So it's one of those things that I didn't want to leave. I was scared. I was scared about the reaction from the fans. I was scared about the reaction from my teammates. Ownership. It didn't go well. There was some of it, too, that was negative. And maybe it should have been that way. You know, because I was under contract and I asked for a trade. You know, and I'm still in the prime. I was all pro that year, first team. And they're like, why would you want to leave? I had to roll the dice and take the risk, and it worked out for me. But I still feel just as much as a Chief if I'm going to stay here my whole career. I still feel loved by the fans here, and I love them. And it's good to be back here.
Derek Johnson's time with the Chiefs just came to an end a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Was he surprised? He left 13 seasons here in KC.
Dude, I love Derek. No, I remember his first day showing up. His approach was, and what a career. He's just another long line of those great Chief players that were. I remember, I think his first day at camp, we guarded each other because I wanted to see how good he was. And he was good. I caught the ball, though. But we did a little one-on-one receiving drill. But he's a fantastic player. I don't even know if he's done. He still looks like he's still...
He wants to keep playing. Is that surprising? He wants to keep going?
You know, these players, who's to tell anybody? I played 17 years. Tom Brady's still going. I mean, if Derek feels good mentally and physically, and he's good with his family, then yeah, play till they kick you out, or play till you just don't have it anymore. That's what I did. I played my 17th year. I had 83 catches, 8 touchdowns. I could have came back and played, but it wasn't here. My desire was not at a 10 where it needs to be. Otherwise, you won't do what it takes to be
what,
good.
What's been the toughest thing about the transition from player to the media?
The media, guys. You guys. I'm with you guys now. The toughest thing? I think at the beginning, it's kind of just letting loose, just being you, especially in my line of work. Fortunately, especially now, I get to work with the pros. I get to see Michael Strahan, Terry Bradshaw, and Howie Long every week, and Jimmy, Coach Jimmy Johnson. But I think it's just being honest. Being able to be critical but fair, and then be able to get it out in the amount of time that they give you. Sometimes they'll tell you, yeah, you got 45 seconds in rehearsal, and then when you get into that, because somebody went too long, you know, you got 10 seconds to say it, and you got to be able to say it real quick. And that's why it's definitely a skill, and it's one of those things too. It took me a while. You have to approach it just like how I approach football. I do that with acting now. Like you have to approach it just like you would approach football, where you have to vision yourself doing well. You have to take the notes. You have to become that success guy again. And it's a formula there that the great ones have, that everybody up here has. Huh? The locker room show. If I could see those tapes.
Got time for one more.
What's your reaction with the Chiefs trading Marcus Peters?
I didn't even know about that until I got off. I remember reading about it. I'm sure they have good. Obviously, I'm not privy to any information going on behind it. If they feel like that's going to help the team and help him, I know he's had a little trouble off the field, some incidences. You can ask Coach McVay. He's here. I'm sure they're happy. And if they get a pick, they just got Fuller from Washington. Then make it work. Like I said, those type of things, sometimes a change of scenery will do a player good. And I hope that for Marcus, because, you know, he's a phenomenal football player. But sometimes personalities and situations, change is good. That's why coaches get fired. That's why players get traded. It's just how it goes. You got to move on and make it work. Yeah.
What's that going to be like?
It's going to be great. We're going to party. I'm bringing everybody out. It's going to be fun. You're going to be there, eh? I'm looking forward to it. If I get inducted, if I get my name called, I can't wait. I've been there a bunch. I've been to Marcus's speech. Saw Warren's speech. I've been there one other time, too. I've been there 3 times, I think. And so it'd be great to be a part of it, you know? So hopefully I'll get that call next week.
What are your thoughts on these Chiefs?
You guys are right.
Your thoughts on these Chiefs and the direction they're going?
I love Andy Reid. Since the beginning, I've ever met him over at the Pro Bowl. He's an amazing coach. Players love him. That young quarterback, I'm excited about him. I'm excited to see what he can do. I haven't had a chance to meet him yet, but he seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. Obviously, he can play. I saw the preseason, and when he came in at the end of the year, lit it up. And that's what you got to have. You got to have a nice little quarterback. You got a great coach. You got a guy like Kareem. You got a good tight end in Travis. I mean, the future's bright for them. I think they're in that window of success right now. I anticipate, especially with Andy at the helm, that they're gonna make it work. Eric Berry come back healthy next year. They're a playoff team. When you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. Philly showed us that, and it doesn't matter where you're at as a team. You just got to get to the dance, and they are a team that could easily, if they stay somewhat healthy, they should be able to get to the playoffs and hopefully get to a Super Bowl.
And that was former Chiefs great Tony Gonzalez. Let's continue just moving right on and talk to a potential teammate of a player that Tony Gonzalez was talking about as NFC Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, who very well in the very near future, maybe Marcus Peters' teammate spoke. Cody and Stephen St. John got a chance to catch up with him, and he started off talking about their locker room and how he believes they have what it takes in the locker room to go on and win and accomplish the goals that they want to accomplish.
We got a good locker room. You know, a lot of guys that's young and hungry, and we know how things are supposed to be done and how we're going to get it done. Definitely, we just got a good locker room.
I'm almost done with you, man. Compared to the year before when Coach McVay got there, what did guys go about working more consistently, or was it about the same as the year before?
The difference, he just brought a different attitude, I guess. Okay. Hold people accountable. That's what I think. When you got a young team, you got to hold people accountable. When something happens, can't just brush it under the rugs, so to speak. But you know, when you bring a young coach like that, hungry with that attitude, and start changing things around, and guys see that, they tend to grab onto that and start changing as well. So we're on the right path.
How does he command respect? Like, why do guys listen to him?
Just the way you got to be on the forward.
Really?
He's a good coach. He'll get after you if you're doing something wrong. So don't let that smile fool you. I seen that man change. But
Charm don't mean nothing.
He get after you at the same time. When you got a coach that's winning, you tend to, understand what he's doing is going to work. So.
And I guess that's it. You know, as far as you know, have you communicated with any of your teammates about the possibility of adding Marcus? And if so, what are they saying? Like, what is the general sense you get from your defensive teammates about this potential happening?
Really ain't get to talk too much because it just happened yesterday, so we ain't really get to talk about nothing yet. So, when that time comes, if that time comes, we'll speak then.
I appreciate you.
Same way he was asking about Sean McVay, what does Wade Phillips do in the room as far as, being accountable? Like, what does he mean, difference in defensive coordinator versus head coach? What was the difference when he came in?
He just bring that confidence. He don't say much. He's more laid back. But the way he carries himself, he's always confident about how he's doing things. He's always going to pick players in great positions to make plays and help the team to win. So, we got a coach like that coach so many great football players and always have success. So you tend to listen to every little thing he say. You tend to be quiet and just listen to it and take coaching and then trying to build off that.
What was your reaction, I guess, yesterday when you saw the news that Marcus Peters is coming to the Rams?
It's excited. You don't know what can happen, but I don't really want to speak on it because it's not official yet. So definitely be good to have him.
As far as just a. I know that it's weird because it's like an in-between timing and we don't know if those things are official, but from what you know around the league, what kind of talent do you think he is?
He's a playmaker. He's a game changer from what I've seen. He did the last 3 years. He's definitely a game changer and a playmaker. So.
Can you kind of talk about your defense? What do you guys hope that you can build upon and get better with next year?
From getting after the pass to the turning, making turnovers, scoring on defense, everything. When you want to be great, you got to always want to build off something and get better at your overall defense. So that's the mindset, and that's what we built for. So.
Everyone talks about the turnaround, obviously. What is your secret to success? What do you guys feel like really motivated y'all this year?
Coach McVay, Wade Phillips, him bringing them guys in and changing the culture and how things was done and being part of a winning organization. So.
you've been asked by a few of these guys the question already about Marcus Peters, but tell me about your secondary, more of a broader term. What makes that secondary special, and how can that get a little bit better next year?
Just guys, you know, that play together. We've been playing together for years, so, you know, everybody know how each other play. You know, we feed off each other, so... You know, we know what our weaknesses and our strengths, and we know the way to, you know, just play together well, and it just works for us. So,
expectations for next year?
A lot. You know, our main goal is the winning world championship, and that's always the main goal, and that's what we're working for. So.
And that was Aaron Donald, who won the award for NFC Defensive Player of the Year. And as you heard there at the end, he was talking about how he was asked about how potentially his future teammate as still current chief, Marcus Peters, is still a member of this team, but as appears will be a member of the Los Angeles Rams in the near future. We're going to head to a quick break, but we will be right back here soon with more interviews with Stephen St. John and Cody Tapp. We have still a few more good things to get to before we get you on to your next program. You're listening to the 101 Awards Show special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the 101 Awards special on 810 Sports, on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to continue right along with the interviews from the night as Stephen St. John got the chance to talk to AFC Offensive Player of the Year, Antonio Brown.
AFC Offensive Player of the Year. What's it mean to you to be up there? You see Peyton Manning, you see the some of the best there is in the NFL because you're one of them. What's that mean to you even though you've been the best wide receiver for half a decade now?
Well, it's a tremendous honor. You know, anytime you get to win the award and be around your peers of great others, something I don't take for granted, something that's really special, and something that's a tremendous amount of effort from the work you put in. You know, having a great team and, you know, having a great quarterback, having a great offensive line, having a great coach that put me in good position and allowed me to be in this place right here.
So the last couple of times you come to Kansas City, you've broken a lot of hearts around here, so... What is it about the Steelers? Why do you have the Chiefs' number, especially at Arrowhead Stadium? What is it?
I don't know, man. A lot of preparation, hard work, and a little bit of luck probably.
So the big news around here is Marcus Peters traded yesterday to the Rams. You've gone up against him in these games. When you saw that, what was your reaction? And what's your experience playing up against Marcus Peters?
Well, Marcus Peters is a great corner that loves to get after the ball. You know he's going to get his hands on the ball. Love to cover the best guys, always competitive. Any team, when you see a good player leave a team, you know what I mean, always make you wonder. But, you know, you're not in their program and in that facility to see what's going on. So, obviously, we just wish him well. You know, it's a part of the business, and I'm sure he'll be his best whatever team he goes.
Were you surprised when you saw it? It seemed like everyone around the NFL was a little bit surprised.
I mean, you always surprised when you see a great player such as, you know, Peters leave a team. But, you know, we saw Peyton Manning get cut, so it can happen to the best of us. You just never want to take it for granted and always do your best.
So tell me about this Drake video that you were in. Quite the dancer. I mean, so is this something that maybe we could see more of from you and the entertainment side of Antonio Brown?
Well, it was just a great honor to be around Drake. Doing some positive things in the community. He was able to invite me over to hang with him, to be able to give back to some families and some unfortunate situations. So it was an honor when you come together with a star like Drake to do some cool things, not only hang out but and shoot amazing video, but help others in a difficult situation.
And I saw you guys surprised a maid, I think, at a hotel and took her on a shopping spree and out to dinner, just doing something nice for somebody. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. But that was Drake's whole concept in his video, you know, to go around the city of Miami, touch lives, give back. He gave out almost $1 million in the community. And him joining me to be able to help him, you know, I didn't give anything but my time and to be able to hang around him in the midst of him making a difference for the Miami community was life about.
I tell you what, you've broken my heart many times as a Chiefs fan, but you're one hell of a wide receiver, the best in the league. You had that leg injury, but then you come back and you didn't miss a beat. How difficult was that physically? Because you looked fantastic in the playoff game, and you were going through an injury that a lot of football players may not have even been on the field for.
Well, you know, it's not about who you are in times of comfort. You know, it's all about who you are in times of adversity. And through adversity, we learn a lot about ourselves. attitudes, our mentality. And, you know, I had to dig deep within myself, you know, to push forward and within those 2 weeks to be able to put my best foot forward with the team. And it was a lot of hard work, a lot of great trainers around me that was making sacrifices to take care of me and make my job easy.
Congratulations on AFC Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. You certainly deserve it.
Thank you, brother.
That was AFC Offensive Player of the Year, Antonio Brown. Next, we're going to move on and hear from the Mac Lee Hill Award winner, which goes to the Chiefs Rookie of the Year. And as most of you can guess, that winner was Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt sat down, or not really sat down, but talked to the media about his fumbling that first carry and how he just used that to propel his season and get going on to ultimately lead the NFL in rushing yards and win the Chiefs Rookie of the Year Award.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, booze and stuff like that. You really don't want to be a part of that. And you know, it really hurts sometimes. You know, to hear something like that, and you just want to work at each and every play and just make the most of it. And you know, definitely, you know, his story kind of definitely relates to mine. And you know, fumbling that first career play really, like, you know, it made me really sit back and think, like, how do I want this done?
Absolutely. And now that you've gotten this award, how special is it for you to be honored like this? How special is it for you to have the season that you had?
Oh, it's very special. You know, we got a great locker room and a great group of guys, and to be able to win this award is very, you know, huge for me, and it means a lot. And you know, I'll forever remember this moment. And you know, there's a great number of guys with, you know, big time names who won this award, so it's very big.
A lot of changes. Talk about your thoughts on some of the offseason changes and where the program's going right now.
I mean, I'm really not going to talk really much about that. You know, it ain't, you know, we got some great guys and, you know, we still got great players and we'll see how that goes.
What was Marcus like in the locker room as a player with you guys?
I mean, Marcus is a great player. He's a great teammate. He was always, you know, a funny guy and, you know, I just like having him around. Spark to the team.
Good guys? That's it? All right.
That was Mac Lee Hill Award winner Kareem Hunt. We're going to take one more quick break and come back with the final two interviews of the night as we flip from the players to the coaches. You're listening to the 101 Award Special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the 101 Award Special here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Rudy Salazar, and now we're going to move on and hear from the AFC and NFC Coaches of the Year, starting off with the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach, Doug Marrone, who sat down and talked about the Jags season with Stephen St. John earlier this evening.
We're here with AFC Coach of the Year, Doug Marrone of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and first of all, Coach, congratulations on being named AFC Coach of the Year.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. And, you know, like I said just a brief minute ago, that, you know, it's not a Doug Marrone, you know, award, obviously. It's an organizational award from top to bottom. We have a lot of good people from our ownership with Shad Khan down to Coach Coughlin and Dave Caldwell, myself, the coaches, you know, what we did as far as free agency and, you know, developing our players and the way they worked and the way they would go out there to perform. So, you know, we were excited about that, and we understand that this year is over now, and, you know, we've got a lot of challenges going forward.
You mentioned free agency. For a while in the NFL, it seemed like there were many organizations that said build through the draft, but free agency, that's not the way you can build a championship team. Well, you've got the AFC Defensive Player of the Year in Calais Campbell, who was the best free agent signing of the offseason last year, along with A.J. Bouye and a couple of other key free agents. That could be a slippery slope, but boy, you guys really cashed in on free agency and made it work. What was the formula? How did you make that happen?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of it, and I've always said this before, the credit goes to those players. You know, for us as coaches and scouts, we can look at and see the player's ability on the field. And then you go out and you attain those players and acquire those players and, you know, bring them in. And then all of a sudden, you know, how are they going to fit in with the rest of the team? How's the locker room going to be and the function of that? And I really thought that, you know, the three players that we brought in with Calais, you know, A.J. Bouye and Barry Church, they did an outstanding job of opening up and getting their teammates to know them first and really trying to be part of the team and pull the team together. And I think that really showed, obviously, on the field and the strides that we made on the defensive side.
So let's talk a little bit more about Calais Campbell, because as was talked about in the press conference, no matter where you put him on the defensive line, he may be one of, if not the best in the NFL. What's it like to have that type of weapon to utilize on the defensive line?
Well, obviously the versatility is outstanding, but I think, you know, I would never do it, you know, Calais justice if we just talked about him as a football player. You know, in free agency, like you said before, you do your research and you find out, oh, this guy's a great guy. He's good in the locker room. But he really was, you know, beyond that for us. His communication, his lack of attention towards himself. And just like you saw a minute ago, he's always going to talk about he would not be where he is, you know, if it wasn't for his teammates around him. You know, the person he is, it's just off the charts what he's done in the community. So I think those things kind of get, you know, left out a little bit when you talk about him. But, you know, I really can't say enough about him. You know, again, with A.J. Boye and Barry Church, the job that they did, and it really, you know, really helped us and helped our football team.
You know, everyone talks about defense, but your offense and Blake Bortles won a shootout in Pittsburgh and then went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady for four quarters. What could you say about the job that Blake Bortles did in the postseason?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I mean, you look at it the whole thing during the year. I think, you know, offensively we finished, you know, sixth in the league. And, you know, that's a credit to Nathaniel Hackett and the coaches on the offensive side of the ball. You know, but, you know, we wound up acquiring two players in a draft with Leonard Fournette and Cam Robinson at the running back and the left tackle. But really, you know, we go out there the first game, the first third down, we lose our best wide receiver, you know, and probably maybe even our best offensive player at that time. You know, you lose that. We had some injuries in the line, you know, during the year and that adversity. But, you know, Blake remained constant in that. And like I said before, his toughness and the way he goes about his business and how hard he works at it and really made great strides this year. So, you know, obviously we're in a situation where we're discussing things and going on and, you know, hopefully we'll be able to announce our plan shortly.
Were you able to watch the Super Bowl and enjoy it? Were you far enough removed from the loss, or were you not ready at that point?
I'm going to tell you, I get so pissed. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're so hurt. I think, you know, you can't really describe how you feel, you know, when you know you were so close and, you know, and everyone's saying, ah, you were so – and you just keep repeating the game in your mind, and it just – and you're trying to look for an escape. And if you go ahead and you watch the Super Bowl, it's like every single play I'm going to be beating myself up. So it's like, you know, a self-torture to go through it. So I kind of watched a little bit and, you know, and gone through that. But I try to it takes me a long time to get over, you know, the failures and disappointment of and looking at myself of what I could have done a better job, you know, for our football team.
So are you enjoying this trip to Kansas City a little more now that people won't be booing you at Arrowhead Stadium? You said not quite as hostile as a normal business trip to KC.
I always think to myself, you know, when I think of Kansas City, I came out here a while ago, earlier in my career. You know, we came out here for opening day, and I've always heard, you know, you always hear about, you know, Kansas City and the great fans that they have, but, you know, to actually experience it, we went out there opening day, I'm like, holy cow, we're in trouble, you know, right off the bat. So I know we played them on a schedule next year, and then one of the things I have my fingers crossed is I hope we're not their opening day game, you know, because I know the fans here. They've always been great people. You know, they always treat you well. You know, you see that tonight, you know, the way everyone is, you know, so kind. And what's great about Kansas City is really the football. I mean, they are true football fans. And, you know, they're great. They respect what people do around the league. They respect the players that come in. You know, but once you cross into that stadium and it's game day, make no mistake about it, you know, we understand that we're the enemy in that venue.
Coach, congratulations again.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me here.
That was AFC Coach of the Year Doug Marrone. Now for our last interview of the night, NFC Coach of the Year Sean McVay, who led the Rams to a surprising playoff berth this year. McVay began talking about the Rams locker room and how he believes they have what it takes to bring in a player from the outside and fit him in quickly with the rest of the team and what it is that they want to achieve this year.
Being a part of something bigger than yourself, and that's what we've got in our locker room, and that's why you feel good about being able to bring people in and let them know that, you know, they're going to be welcome. We'll put our arm around them and look forward to trying to achieve some things together.
Sean, still speaking in a very general way, you guys had a really great year for a debut. How much does the success you guys had this year play a role in whether or not you consider taking gambles as far as bringing in talent? You've got to consider.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing for us is, you know, what was so good is when you're looking at your roster compared to last year when we're coming in, we have a foundation in place where we know what our players are. I think we have a better idea of what we need to do as far as identifying some pieces that you want to add to try to be able to improve your football team. And we feel good about a lot of the guys that we do have, but you know, you can always add, and especially when you're looking at some of those guys that can rush the passer or cover from the defensive side, those are special positions.
So my last question to you, you have a coordinator with a lot of gravitas, Wade Phillips.
Sure do.
How much does that matter to you as far as his ability to command respect from your room, number one, and also as it relates to your locker room on the defensive side of the ball? How many like alpha type guys, you know, do you kind of lean on to provide that leadership?
Yeah, you know, Wade's been special, and I think anytime that you're looking at a coach, you want to see those leadership qualities where people want to follow that guy, and he does things the right way. He's got a great way about being able to connect with the players, and it's an authentic and a genuine way, and he knows how to deal with different types of personalities. I think you see guys really reach their highest potential around him, but I lean on him a lot. You know, he's been great for me just because of the experience that he has, and he's been through things that I just simply haven't. So to be able to have him on our coaching staff leading our defense, he's been instrumental to the success that we've had so far, and feel fortunate to continue to be doing it with him.
And about the leadership, like who do you lean on the defensive side of the ball to set the football culture you want?
Yeah, you know, I think you look at him, he's right next to me. You know, with Aaron Donald, you know, you got guys like Alec Ogletree. I think, you know, Connor Barwin came into our locker room. He was one of the guys that was voted on as a captain. But I think you've got the right types of guys really on all three lines. But, you know, it's a handful of guys. But, you know, special players like this have a real good influence, and especially when they're producing as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coach, talk about adding a guy on Marcus Peters' caliber to a defense that included Aaron Donald, like you said, Alec Ogletree.
Yeah, you know, right now, just because of where we're at in the league year, can't make it official, so you have to be careful with some of the tampering things. But March 14th, hopefully, we'll be able to talk about that.
Hey, Sean, is that one thing the league needs to look into? Because I remember, you know, Clark Hunt was up at the Super Bowl. We're after Alex Smith trade. You know, everybody's talking.
Sure.
It's, quote, not a trade yet.
Right.
Baseball, they started right after the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, does football maybe need to look at maybe bumping these things up a little bit instead of holding things out so
long? I think there's always some things that the league does a great job of looking at themselves and figuring out ways that we can improve some of the things strategically with how we operate in the offseason. But, you know, to their credit, everything is intentional and it's there for a reason. But you can have agreements in place, and, you know, it's really just out of respect for the process. Want to be able to talk a little bit more about hopefully what, you know, what we've seen as far as some terms that we've agreed on, but until those dates. But I think it's something that the league looks at every year, and right now we feel good about where we're at.
Remember, we used to say there was like a limit to, you know, your guys or type of guys, you know, that like in a locker room. How do you get a balance of a locker room? Do you fear too many guys that like you work with? Because there's going to be different levels of difficulty.
Sure.
Not difficult players. Do you fear that there's a balance? Do you ever think that there's like only so much, so many players that you can take on that have that kind of background?
You know, I wouldn't say that. I think it's about connecting with these guys. And certainly I think there is a good way of balancing out a locker room, really, when you're looking at just from a football team in terms of the types of talents. But with personalities, it all goes back to connecting with these guys, building and developing relationships. And, you know, I think that's where everything starts, to be able to lead and then to be able to coach or work with guys in a manner where you can have some sustained success. But everything starts with relationships, and I wouldn't say you're looking for any sort of balance of personalities, but you want the right types of guys, and we look for good guys that are good football guys, and they love the game.
Sorry, I jumped in kind of late on you, but
she was getting ready to ask.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Hi, I'm from the Vine North High School. Yeah. As NFC Coach of the Year, you are joining the list of Tom Landry, Bill Walsh, and Bud Grant, just for a few. How does that feel right now?
Unbelievably flattering. And, you know, those are guys I have such a huge amount of respect for coaching in general. And Bill Walsh is a guy that I've really looked up to. He worked with my grandfather back in the day. And a lot of the things that we've implemented in our organization are, you know, a reflection of some of those former great coaches.
And that's it for the 101 Awards special tonight. Next, we're going to take you to some NBA action with Oklahoma City and Golden State playing right now. I just want to say a final thank you to Stephen St. John, Cody Tapp, and Kyle Huppy for their work tonight at the 101 Awards. I'm Rudy Salazar, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Have a good night.